Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio today. We're going to be doing Mark 10, 46 through 52,
Blind Bartimaeus.
We don't edit these either, guys. Okay, so we're having a party here today. We have a lot of Terrace peeps.
We
from
do.
Grace University.
I'm so excited. We have starting over, you guys, like if you could see, I'm pointing to my right. We have Stephanie and Naomi, who just graduated, and of course Janelle, who just graduated as well. So we have a house full of seniors. We have Tori and Keisha and Catherine. Yay! These are all students that, in their own way, in different ways in their lives, minister to me, and somehow, in God's grace, He's allowed me to walk shoulder to shoulder with them for a season. So I'm blessed. Glad to have you guys.
Yes, welcome.
Good to be here.
All right, so blind Bartimaeus.
I
was kind of excited.
That is who is blind.
Yeah, that is who is blind.
He's the blind one?
He's the blind one.
Well, it made me happy because I was going in and looking at the curriculum. I'm teaching on or speaking on blind Bartimaeus in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that this would even fall. And we leave this weekend for Israel. And
exciting.
Then to have this be what popped up that where we're at in the curriculum. So it made me excited to see that this was our story. It means a lot to me. I've studied it a lot over the years just because it's a sweet passage and it's a short passage. And so you look at it and you think, how could you get that many shows out of this? But there's a lot of things that we can take from this small little situation and apply it to our lives. So I'm looking forward to us getting in and doing it. So let's story blind Bartimaeus. So as Jesus had entered into Jericho and it was time for him to leave, he and his disciples were surrounded by a large crowd of people. And as they were traveling on the road, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he was sitting on the side of the road and he could hear what was going on. And the crowds were all over the place. And he's like, who is that? And they're like, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowds were telling him to stop. And he cried out even more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And at that moment, Jesus stopped and he said, go get him. The disciples went over to where Bartimaeus was and said, take courage, get up. He's calling you. And immediately he took off his cloak and he went over to where Jesus was. And Jesus looked at him and he asked, what is it you want from me? And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. And immediately his sight was restored. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. Well, Bartimaeus then started following Jesus. May God honor the telling of his word. So, my beloveds, as we listen to this passage, my first question that we want to talk about is, when you hear this, immediately, just what comes to mind? What do you think of when you hear this passage? And you're going to have to get close to the mic so people can hear, and we don't want pauses, so don't be afraid to speak, okay? Oh, too long. Come on.
Waiting for the peeps here.
I think the man's persistence is incredible, how he doesn't give up, and he continues to seek Christ even when people don't tell him that it's a good idea, when they tell him to be quiet, that he's not worthy, the man continues to push after Christ anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, and he's very humble, you know, of how he approaches Jesus also.
Okay. Keisha?
I really appreciated his excitement to see Jesus. He never gave up, like Janelle said, and I think that was really encouraging.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Catherine?
Yeah, when you see, like Keisha said, his excitement, it says that he sprang up or kind of jumped up. It wasn't a, oh, okay, Jesus is calling me, but it was a, he literally jumped up to go to Jesus, so that was really cool.
I'm sitting here thinking, he's blind. How did he get to him? Because it makes it sound like it's a very fast action, and you're talking, it is a crowd of people. And to give you a mindset of how many people, commentators say approximately probably 20,000 priests would have been along this route. Okay, and so that doesn't include the people that would have been a part of it, because this was a route that covered from Jericho to Jerusalem as people were going in to the Passover. Not everybody would be able to go in, and so the people would line the streets to watch to see the people that were going on the journey. Lots and lots of people. Okay, anybody else? Thoughts?
You know, I was just going to say, his great faith.
Okay.
He had faith and he believed. Okay. When he found out who it was that was approaching him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Yeah, like real faith is persistent. Mm-hmm. You know, he believed Jesus could heal him, and mm-hmm. he didn't stop when the people told him to.
Okay, good. All of these are things that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. We'll take some of them, go a little bit deeper, and examine them. One of the first things that we like to do when we're going through in this is we will take each kind of person or people group to get closer understanding what we can from them. So I just want us to think on the crowds. Okay, what is it that we can learn from the crowd in this? What do you see? What do you observe about the crowd? They're crowded. You guys are pretty quiet.
Like, yeah, and a lot of people rebuked him. And I know that there were a lot of people, and they probably just didn't think that Bartimaeus should be approaching Jesus like that.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. They were kind of bossy then. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
They were easily annoyed, you know. They had an agenda, and whatever reason, this blind guy wasn't part of it. Mm-hmm. So they
good.
Wanted to shut him up.
Good.
I don't think they really saw who Jesus was. They didn't really understand, and they didn't understand his purpose and why he was here. And so they had a one-track mind of, no, he can't be bothered with the lowly. Mm. And so they didn't understand, or they didn't see who he was.
Good, good.
But then they were also the ones, when Jesus said, call him, they were the ones that said, cheer up, get up, he's mm-hmm. calling you. And okay. they told him to go to Jesus.
All right, that's a good point. I'm going to bring something up. The word they, commentators believe, because it's they and no longer crowd, that it might have been the disciples mm-hmm. at that point. And so they're a part of the crowds, the disciple is there. Mm-hmm. And so they're the ones that would have been doing Jesus's ministering. And so within that crowd, what kind of people did we have? We had some people that were true followers mm-hmm. and some that were not true followers, right?
Right.
And so those that would seek to do the will. So we had both people groups there, okay? I figured they were curious.
Yeah.
If they're all lining the streets to see the people that are traveling this journey to get to the Jerusalem for Passover, they're there because they're wanting to see who's coming into town, you know, mm-hmm. and wanting to see what's going on. What I mean, imagine you would see a lot of different types of people, different types of clothing, different cultures. You would see, you know, the different people groups that would be coming in. And so watching them as they're making this parade in. And I imagine that some of them are probably seeing relatives they hadn't seen because they're journeying, right? Uh-huh. Coming into Passover. One of the things that also stood out to me is that they would refer to these, the commentators would often call them like it's a Passover pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. So people that really have journeyed, you know, not everybody could make that kind of journey on a regular basis. So some of them, it would be like a pilgrimage that they're on. So our group that is getting ready to go to Israel, in a way, we're about to go on a pilgrimage to Israel.
Yes.
And so they would refer to them as that. Okay, I have some verses I'd like for at least one. Would somebody open up, Janelle, Psalm 42:4? And Catherine, you have a Bible, Mark 14:1-2. And we're just going to read about the Passover pilgrimage. It kind of reference it in the scriptures. So Psalm 42:4. Go ahead, Janelle.
Okay, it says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng.
Okay, and in some translations it'll actually reference Passover, you know, group that's coming through. So it's a time of rejoicing mm-hmm. of people coming through. Okay, Catherine?
14:1-2. Now the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus
okay.
and kill him.
Mm-hmm. So that gives us a little time frame. So we're in Mark 10, that's 14, showing a little bit of our time frame that they are in the process of working towards that. All right. Let's look at Bartimaeus. What is everything that you can think of that we can take from him that we might learn from Bartimaeus?
Mm. Persistence.
Mm-hmm. All right, persistence. That's important. What else?
I would say confidence. Confidence in Jesus. He, yes, was persistent, but he also knew as soon as he heard that Jesus was coming, he knew that Jesus could heal him, and that's why he was shouting out for him.
Mm-hmm. I think he's very determined to get where he wanted to get.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, real faith takes action.
Yes, it
and
does.
And when you can't see, I mean, that's like the ultimate level of faith when you don't even know what you're asking for. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What, Hebrews 11:1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What would you describe Bartimaeus's listening skills?
Well, good, because he's lost his sight, so the others then.
Okay. So he can hear what's going on.
And got a little daredevil going on.
His listening skills. All right, in the crowd, imagine the noise level of what you could hear in a crowd.
Right. But he heard this Jesus of Nazareth was coming.
Yeah.
Or was there.
Exactly. And so he was willing to move forward. All right. What about his listening skills as to who he should listen to?
Hmm. Yeah, he definitely didn't listen to the crowds.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
No, when the crowds said to be quiet, he persisted. So he was listening to God.
Yeah. And in the Greek, the word that cried out there, it is actually like a continuous action. So it's not just twice that he actually says it. He says it over and over and over. He is persistent in shouting out for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that shows his persistence as well. Okay, what would you say he's in pursuit of?
Sight.
Okay.
I think it wasn't just sight, because when Jesus healed him, he didn't just say, thank you, all right, see you later. Mm-hmm. He followed Jesus on the road.
He did. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. What else? Not just physical, so we have the spiritual. What else do you learn about Bartimaeus? Can you think of anything else? Mm-hmm. How do you think that he viewed Jesus? Let me ask it that way. How would you describe how he views Jesus?
Well, he called him Rabbi, the teacher, but also another Rabboni, where they talked about Lord or my master.
Right.
So he views him as his master.
Okay. What about what he's crying out? What did he say? Mm-hmm. Jesus.
He says,
Son
have
of
mercy.
David.
Yeah. Son of David, have mercy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's giving titles that we would say we recognize as authority and we respect. And by using Son of David, it's unanimous with every commentator that I looked at. They say he is using Messiah, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, which right. means he is the Savior. Mm-hmm. And so he identifies immediately who Christ is, and he knows who he's in pursuit of, okay? That is critical in understanding
and
this
particular. And that's without seeing him.
Yeah.
The blind part, yes, like
that's
us.
Exactly right, Sandy, exactly. Mm-hmm. Did he seem to be concerned about rank or position?
No, he just wanted to follow.
Good, okay. Mm. And considering the fact that he's on the side of the road and he's in his beggar cloak. Now, as a beggar, for him to have a cloak is a big deal. A beggar does not typically have a cloak. And the fact that he has one is a pretty huge thing. Because in the cloak, that would also be where they would store their whatever belongings they would have. He let go of his cloak. What does that tell you?
He let go of his possessions. He just let go.
He just let go. He left it behind. He no longer needed his right. beggar's cloak. Mm-hmm. When he was seeking out the Messiah, he no longer needed the beggar's cloak. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then how did he respond to the disciples?
He just didn't care. He just kept doing it.
All right, the disciples, not the crowd.
Oh, the disciples, sorry.
How did he respond to the disciples? He did exactly what they said. So when they said, take courage, get up, go to him, he's calling you, it was an immediate response. Mm-hmm. How did he respond to Jesus? Jesus asked him a question.
Right. What do you want of me?
Right, how did he respond? He
said, Rabbi, I want to see.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's immediate. What I'm wanting us to get is when it came to the Lord and when it came to the Lord's servants, his response was immediate. Mm-hmm. When it came to those that were anti getting to Jesus, he ignored them. Yeah. That's a huge lesson that we should be focused in on. We'll talk about that more later. All right. What about the disciples? The reference to they. I really struggled with that when initially trying to figure that out, but commentators say that it's a safe assumption because of the fact that they would have been the ones that would have ministered Jesus' request because they were his followers, he was discipling. Mm-hmm. Just as if I said something with a group, and I've had it happen multiple times this week with Catherine, Keisha, and Tori, as we've done a lot of stuff in preparation, hanging out for Israel, I'll say, oh, da-da-da, and then I look, and one of them's doing it. Because those that are closest to you will recognize when you have something, the need will be taken care of. So the commentators say the they, because it doesn't reference the crowd, you'll assume is the disciples. What would you say you could learn from them?
Well, I think their first initial response to the blind guy, like, you know, cheer up. I mean, they could already tell he was, you know, throwing himself out there, being, you know, kind of, I guess, verbally abused by the crowd. They didn't care for them. Mm-hmm. And the disciples' first statement was, dude, hey, cheer up, Jesus is calling you. I think that's an interesting first thing to say to someone that's seeking Jesus.
That's good.
Comfort. That is good.
That is good. Okay. Can anybody think of anything else you'd like to say about the disciples?
I think they're kind of aghast that Jesus is granting this request. Like, they don't say, like, oh, well, you know, he's going to heal you or anything, or, like, the things that they've seen in the past. Like, man, your persistence actually paid off. Be happy. Go see him.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? I was blown away by their immediate response as well. There was no delay.
The disciples?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he said call, they mm-hmm. called him.
And if there was a delay, Scripture would tell us. Mm-hmm. It was they just went to him and did it. Okay.
They obeyed. Right.
We have about a minute and a half. We're going to sum up. What do you learn about Jesus in this?
He can heal people, and he's awesome.
I love that. He's compassionate.
Mm-hmm. He looks past rank, and he looks past disability and things like that.
That makes me want to cry, Stephanie. Mm. It just is so beautiful. Mm. It's good. I love the fact that in a crowd where people that think they're important, people that are pressing in, people that want a lot of things for many different reasons, that he is willing to hear the one mm-hmm. that is calling to him and being willing to stop mm-hmm. and then to meet that need. That, to me, is huge. It just shows the beauty of Jesus's heart.
Right. 'Cause he knows what we need. He mm-hmm. just wants us to ask for it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Can anybody think of anything else you want to say you can learn about Jesus in this?
Well, I think you kind of hit it pretty well. I mean, he went against the crowd. The crowd didn't want to recognize him. And, I mean, Jesus wasn't about making people happy or pleasing the crowd. Cared about the individual.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Janelle, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting that Jesus didn't call the man himself, but he asked the disciples to do it for him. Instead of taking that credit for himself, he used someone else.
All right, quickly, why? Why would he have them do it?
To use them, to give them the opportunity to see his ministry.
Ooh, that's a good one to end on. Thanks for listening. God bless.